Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one-word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
Throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We can talk a little college hoops. Is change a-coming in Stillwater? Sure feels like it, right? It's Oklahoma State struggling through a difficult go of it this season. Another loss last night, 90-66 at the hands of the Kansas Jayhawks. I just don't know how in the world they come out of this tailspin. If they do, it'd be so reminiscent of what the football team was, right? Because you're hearing the conversations of, okay, can they finish anywhere but 14th in the league? Like we kind of did in football
at the first of the season. Maybe he needs to head on over to Gundy's office, knock on the door, and go, hey, Mike, how'd you do it?
It may not be as easy as you think, though, as far as just cutting ties because of how young the team is, the roster makeup with the four freshmen, two of them are really, really have potential to be good, and with the transfer portal. You know, it's a little bit more complicated than one would think, probably. So we can talk about that. Sooners try to get on track against West Virginia. Improved West Virginia team that's got some guys back, and they beat Texas the other day in Big 12 play. So that's a harder task than what maybe it was a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you know the crowd will be there, and they'll be rowdy.
Oh, yeah.
And you know why.
$2 beers.
And he being Porter Mosier, answered the call and said, okay, I'll get more beer in there.
All 3,000 of them will be rocking Lloyd Noble. NFL playoffs. Did you see the audio gold from yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Todd Bowles. We'll talk about that. Okay, which quarterback has the most pressure on them in the divisional round? I always like these questions. So which one has the most pressure on them to win a game this weekend? Which game are you most excited to watch? And then what would maybe be your dream scenario for next week with this week's results? Who would you want to see play in the NFC? AFC championship games. Also, the coaching carousel still spins in the NFL. Reports yesterday, looks like Harbaugh and Belichick have interviewed in Atlanta. Ben Johnson, a hot name, offense coordinator, Lions. He's a really hot name. He's going to be at a couple of different places. So kind of where there's an article on ESPN's front page. I wrote this down before I saw this, so it's like perfect timing, right? Where do you kind of see some of these guys maybe headed and in that NFL thing? Also, crazy portal news with Caleb Downs hitting the portal from Alabama. Yeesh, that is
my heart skipped a beat when I saw Downs. I thought, Ethan Downs is in the portal. Oh, no. Thank goodness.
Freshman All-American. That dude is awesome.
Just, yeah, someone's going to get a good one
I think what we're going to see here is, you know, we always talk about during recruiting time, are you recruiting to the school, are you recruiting to the coach? Mm-hmm. I think maybe the Saban thing, the kids wanted to go play for him.
Alabama, yeah.
Wherever he might have been, it just turned out it was Alabama. Maybe more than what we would realize.
And you know, we the whole Lincoln Riley thing, and this is a big discussion we could have. We slam players for that committing to the coach, not the university. But in hindsight, there's not a lot wrong with that. I mean, if you're going to go to a guy that's going to better your career, better your future. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of guys who committed to Bowden over the years, and then when he left, it took them a little bit to get back. But yeah, Alabama. Now that I'm wondering what's going to happen to Alabama now.
You always just thought Alabama's Alabama,
right?
I mean, yeah, Saban got it rolling, but maybe you don't realize just how much influence it playing for him specifically might have had.
Well, look at Alabama before Saban.
Yeah,
they were okay, but they weren't like that.
Well, no one's ever been like
that. No, but you know what I mean? Alabama, like when they came to Norman pre-Saban years, I mean, it was a marquee game still because it was the name Alabama, but they weren't like big world beaters at that time.
No, they hadn't won since, what, 92? A national title.
Right.
Some probation hit here and there in some of those years.
They hit some coaches there where... Now, am I wrong that those 2 years pre-Saban when they played them, that home-and-home series, weren't there two different coaches?
Three
different? I mean, who coached in both games? That's what I'm asking. Like, who?
Well, they had three coaches in that time. Dennis Franchione coached in the 2002 game.
Uh-huh.
He moved on to A&M. They hired Mike Price, who OU beat in that Rose Bowl from Washington State.
Yeah, right.
He got in trouble with the girlies, and then they ended up with David Shula.
Right.
That actually coached the game.
That's
in 2003.
That's what I was asking. But my point is, they went through some coaches there before they got Nick to come.
Kalen DeBoer has already made it further as a coach coming from the state of Washington in his Alabama career than Mike Price.
I wonder if there's any pause there. Like, well, wait a minute. He's from where?
Well,
what state?
It was Washington instead of Washington State, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some truth to that. I mean, you know, the thing about a lot of these college football jobs. Is you start to look, okay, can multiple coaches succeed there? Mm-hmm. Florida State is one you brought up. I think it's very, very true. What was Florida State? What has Florida State been without Bobby Bowden?
Tumultuous, or I can't talk.
Tumultuous.
Whatever. What was it? Well, it was Jimbo right after Bowden.
Well, not right after. It took a second.
Was there someone between there?
Yeah, I think so.
I cannot remember. I thought it was handed off to him.
I don't know.
Was he there
that long?
They did fine, obviously. And then that is the thing. It's like, that's what I'm really curious about Alabama is where will they hit a lull here? You know, how long will DeBoer, will he be successful? If he's not, how patient are they going to be with him? Because it's going to be a gut punch of reality for Alabama fans because.
Yeah, that's right. Jimbo was next.
Yeah, because I think that they're still going to win, but not at the Nick Saban level of winning immediately. Will they have enough patience to let him build the program in his vision?
Well, that was always the question.
Yeah.
Do you want to follow him?
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see.
It's going to be
Bama has had obviously had success with multiple coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, Bear, Gene Stallings won one in 92, then obviously Saban now.
And does it change the – now with the new SEC, does it change the perceived preseason rankings or pecking order where it was always Georgia, Alabama, Alabama, or Georgia – and then you can start plugging in behind them.
How long
does that change?
How long do you think it takes for SEC fans to get sick of Texas being too high?
The end of September.
I mean, I'm just, you know, they're the obvious one you see coming in a lot of the rankings of, you know.
I've seen them as high as, high as two. I've seen them as low as like seven or six or five, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. Right next to OU. I've seen OU as low as 15 and then as high as like 9. There's a lot of questions, I think. You know, with Texas coming off the playoff run, I think some see that as, okay, they went to the playoffs, now they're going to the SEC. They're built for the SEC. And this was before the Saban announcement. But others are, I think, are kind of a wait and see. Yeah, I don't know. Did that answer your question? That's going to be fun. Who gets picked on more, Texas or OU, when they come into the league? By the SEC fans that chant SEC in Nashville.
Do you know that dude named Josh Pate?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like you a little bit, bald, doesn't have a beard.
Oh, that's his fault.
He was talking about the SEC screaming fans or chanting fans that only chant SEC because they don't realize that the SEC isn't a team because their team isn't any good. And he was talking about this exact Oklahoma, Texas coming into the league, and he was basically telling those people that are fans of, you know, a few of those schools, the Mizzou's, the Ole Misses, and all that, you know, if you think about, you know, where your seat is on the bus driver isn't going to continue to tell Oklahoma, Texas to go behind you. They're going to kick you out of their seat. So that's somebody, you hadn't heard a ton of that, but that's somebody that definitely believes that it's, you know, that's it's not too big of a challenge. But which is crazy, if you listen on these airwaves, it feels like people think that Oklahoma's going 6-6 next year. And maybe so. I would be shocked. I'm talking wake up with my head sewn to the carpet shocked.
Well, I think the big thing is in what you stand on, and I'm halfway there. I'm kind of like, okay, you have to have good recruiting. And then you have to embrace the portal kind of simultaneously. But if you look back at past recruiting classes, I think OU Texas, they've done well like the past 3 or 4 years. So it's not like they're bringing in. They're not bringing in bumps. Yeah, and that's a good point too.
Yeah, I'm saving it for a soundbite, Tyler. Oklahoma will not go 6-6 in their first year in the SEC. That's kind of what the point that he was making.
They're not going to come in and get drug around just because it's the best conference, SEC.
Yeah. Them as programs are above the ones that like to chant that when their teams don't have any success. That was his point.
Right.
And well taken. I mean, you're talking about, you know, a group of schools that have been maybe in the top 25 historically, maybe, you know, 25 to 50 historically.
He's not talking to versus, Alabama, Georgia, LSU.
No.
He's but talking to versus, the Vanderbilts,
versus
the Kentuckys.
Two that have been in the top 10.
Yeah.
Historically, one's obviously a top five. That's, you know.
Yeah. And all the predictions of, you know, we're getting some predictions already on the text line of what OU will do. We have another transfer portal window that's we have to go through. We don't even know what the team's going to look like. Anybody's team. That is the reality of today's college football. So you get those way too early polls and
that are
all
always
that stuff,
really fun,
and it's fun to talk about. It's fun to read and click on, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you what their record's going to be next year. I'm not, because the team could be drastically different come September or late August, whenever.
Yeah, it probably needs to be.
Oh, clearly with the offensive line, and we'll see what they do there. But, I mean, their wide receiver, I heard them talk about this on the way home last night, their wide receiver room, I didn't realize how crowded that is for OU. You know, and Texas is working that in the portal, getting some guys in. And obviously, OU's going to have to work on the offensive line. What's the defense going to look like next year? Stutzman coming back definitely helps. I mentioned Downs. I mean, so we'll see. But again, I'm not going to sit here. If someone is going to ask me today what the record's going to be, I'm going to say I'm not going to tell you.
8-4, 9-3.
I'll have a better feel on the pulse in July.
I'll tell you. 8-4, 9-3, 10-2. Something like that. Not 6-6. Or worse.
Yeah, no.
I just don't
see it. I just
don't see the doomsday scenario for a program that is one of the five best of all time. I just don't see it. And if Missouri, I keep going back to this. how damn hard is the SEC if Missouri can step in, make the title game their first 2 years, and then all of a sudden win 10 games out of nowhere? How hard is it really?
Yeah.
Now, if you're an OU fan, you would probably you would certainly like Texas's schedule as opposed to yours. At least what looks like it. That's what it looks like going in. Last year, who saw Mizzou at 10-2?
Right.
So, which one of those, you know, is that Florida this year, and Missouri takes a step back? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, for OU, going to Death Valley doesn't look fun. But
is A&M the team that ends up 10-2 this year of Mizzou or Ole Miss? I mean, Ole Miss looks like
they're
pretty
loaded. That's the fun thing about the SEC. There's every once in a while you get those teams that have those great seasons. So, and that's
it
why
is.
And
it's
that's
true.
Why you want to be in the SEC, because when you have when you go on a magical run in the SEC, it usually means you're set up to play for a national title.
Or get in the playoff.
Or get in the playoff and, well, get to the national. Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I wonder when they'll spray paint SEC on the field.
Probably already there.
I was wondering, do they do that for the Tennessee game and unveil it and the crowd goes
no,
nuts?
No, it'll be there
it'll
first.
It'll be their very first game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, a lot to talk about between, I mean, this January 7th.
Tyler's cracking me up. If they go 8-4 and don't make the playoff, they might fire Brent. No, they won't. See, that this is the crazy that we don't know about yet. The craziness of the, I mean, that's, there are legitimately fan bases in that conference that do that. I'm looking right at you, Auburn.
2 years with the coach.
Auburn.
Fire him.
One that won a national title.
Right.
See you, bye.
How about after his first year of Hugh Freeze? How many people were calling for his job already?
You know, after the New Mexico State debacle, probably some of them. Now, one week later, he might have had a job for that. Might have sewed him up for a few years. That could have beat Alabama.
Yeah.
Logo at the on the field at the spring game. I bet you that is correct.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure it's there.
I was thinking about this last night.
As soon as they paint the field, it's going to be on there.
Yeah, the subtle differences that you're going to see at the stadium. You know, you're going to see the flags of the SEC schools and not the Big 12 schools.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know, will there be any different? Now, obviously, there's going to be difference where the bands are sitting.
The band has to learn new fight songs.
Exactly, all that. Will the pregame stuff with the band be a little different? I don't think so, other than what flag that the cheerleaders were carrying out there of the teams. And then, of course, the logo on the field. It's going to be, it's just going to mean more.
Oh, it'll mean more, that's for sure.
I'm excited for it. It's going to be fun.
It will mean more. No doubt about it. All right, so we'll update some high school hoop stuff. The West Central tournament over at Weatherford, first round is in the books. So we'll tell you when. The semifinals are coming up. I had some games from last night as well. Thunder fall again to the Clippers, or in L.A. this time to the Clippers. Two-game losing streak there. A local guy has a chance to make some waves on the golf course today. Quade Cummins. First rattle out of the box for the Corn Ferry Tour down in the Bahamas.
I was going to say, where is he at?
He's in the Bahamas.
Hey, you know who else is in the Bahamas?
Who?
My mother-in-law.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, she's been texting
maybe
us pictures
she, maybe
and
she
stuff.
Can go watch Quade at the Exuma Classic at Sandals Emerald Bay. That's where they're playing. Sandals Emerald Bay. He's tied for sixth going into the final round today. Just a couple of shots off the lead. So that's something that I'll obviously be monitoring throughout the afternoon. So,
very
good.
That'll
be fun.
Yeah, that'd be
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about those things and whatever else you might have on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com. Download the app. The app's got it all. Radio, Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. course, Big Elk and Paragon TV back on the air tomorrow. All kinds of tournament action tomorrow starting. A few tournaments, and then the West Central picks back up over in Weatherford. And then, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast if you miss the show entirely. All right, Jared, West Central basketball tournament. First round complete. So we know what the semifinal matchups are. We know when they are. We know who they are. Boys bracket, interesting. First round saw two different teams put up triple digits in their first round win. Calumet yesterday, 102-30, and then Monday, and then yesterday, Sentinel Bulldogs 100-51 winners over Burns Flat. So it sets up Canute and Sentinel on the boys' side tomorrow, 5:45 for the first boys semifinal. Rapo Butler got a win last night over Hydro Weekly, 65-46. Seems like the Indians. You talked about how young they are, kind of replacing some guys. Sure seems like they've started to figure some things out after Christmas, playing a lot better brand of ball.
They remind me a lot of what those Canute boys were last year, where they were young, but you could see the talent, and when you thought to yourself, when they figure this out, that they're going to be okay. And we're getting that right now from the Canute boys and Arapahoe, and I said it back after I saw them play Canute. Coach Rogers will have them playing together sooner than later, and maybe they're ahead of schedule. That's a good win for them, and going away like that, putting a Hydro Weekly away like that. So, that's a good one. Now they'll see if they can challenge Calumet, and this is a quick rematch with them, where they had a recipe to kind of slow down the game against Calumet. What was that, last Friday?
Yes, so Friday. A 49-37 win for Calumet. Yeah. That was it, even
it's
even
like
closer.
A 2-point game going into the fourth quarter. Right. Yeah, so you know they're going in with a lot of confidence. Go, man, we had our opportunities. We were in their home gym. Now here we are in a neutral site. Let's see if we can shock the world. So kudos to Coach Rogers and the Indians and Rapo Butler. Like I said, I had no doubt that they would get it going.
Yeah, so that's, like you said, good win last night. Yeah. So those are the boys' semifinals. Girls will play on Friday. We talked about yesterday, Canute beating Calumet 63-16. Thomas beat Corn Bible 33-26. That was on Monday. Then yesterday, last night, Hydro Weekly. I wrote this down wrong. Arapo won, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Arapo 33-29 over Hydro Weekly. I have them in the C. I have them in the semifinals, just had the score on the wrong side back here. 33-29, the Lady Indians win. They will play Sentinel as Lady Bulldogs 47-10 winners over Burns Flatdale City. So first semifinal on Friday, 5:45, Arapo Butler and Sentinel. The nightcap, Canute and Thomas at 8:15. Those are the West Central brackets that are updated. Last night, just kind of regular season play. Anything really of note? It feels like the games went pretty much how you'd assume they would have gone. Cheyenne Raiden on the girls' side whipped up on Shattuck pretty good, 74-29. Eric Top Duke, 40-27. Leedy blew away Fargo Gage Fort Supply, 69-30. And then Hammond and Sweetwater. Sweetwater had some kids sick, and they weren't able to get there. They didn't have enough to play. So that game was kind of a forfeit. Then the boys, kind of the same thing. Cheyenne beat Shattuck 51-34. Duke got all over it. Maybe the margin that Duke beat Eric is surprising to me, 69-32. It's a pretty good whipping for the Duke boys over the Eric boys. Eric kind of been fairly competitive, but that's a pretty good beat down there.
Wow, there's nothing wrong losing to Duke.
Yeah, but that much was kind of surprising. Leedy 61, Fargo Gage Ford Supply 34, and then Hammond 88-46 over Sweetwater. So I don't know. Maybe just the margin that Duke beat Eric would be whatever of a surprise to me. Winners probably not, but maybe that margin was.
Yeah, Eric, I think is we know they're a good team. They went on that run there in December, but since then they've lost win. So maybe hitting a rough patch right now. But again, no shame losing to Duke by any margin. That's a really good team in Duke. Kind of the score that or the one of the outcomes that maybe I shouldn't have been shocked. I wasn't shocked. I was like, well, that's impressive. It was Cheyenne beating Shattuck the way they did, 74-29. An okay Shattuck team. But they, you know, but again, I've always talked about the youth of Cheyenne, and they bounced back and got a good win there. So, Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good for the area schools.
No doubt. And I will have all the brackets tomorrow. Round those up for what's going on tomorrow. Last night, Thunder lose in L.A., this time to the Clippers. 128-117. It's only the second time they've lost by double digits in a game this season.
They were ahead
one with 3-something left. Yeah. They took the lead at 115-114 with like 314 left or 340 left. And then things fell apart, and the Clippers closed that game really, really well to pull away and hand Oklahoma City their second straight loss in L.A. Thunder still number two in the West. You know, it's still, 27-13 now, one game shy of the halfway point. So even if they were to lose the next game, they're on a 54-win pace. So like I said yesterday, though, when you see that Lakers matchup, and maybe it is just the Lakers or a couple of teams, but the way the Lakers play, they're old. They could not care less about the regular season, but that game was a lot more playoff-like with the way that they hunted matchups, got LeBron and Anthony Davis both playing at a high level. Last night, it was a high-level game between two really good offensive teams. And like I said, it was a Thunder led by one with a little over 3 minutes to go, and L.A. closed with the flurry, outscoring them 14-2 in the game's last few minutes to pull away and win 128-117. So some growing pains, some small, obviously, things that need to be corrected. You know, Daigneault after it basically just said, you know, they did a better job of closing than we did. And that's going to be lessons learned throughout the regular season that you hope can then be applied once you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, Paul George was awesome. I think he had like 38. I forget the rest of his stat line, but he's good. And Kawhi Leonard's hitting threes. Of course, Harden doing what he does. Playing a team sport, actually. And Russ contributing, that's a good team. They figured it out in there. I like everybody, was wondering how that marriage is going to work with Harden coming in with all those other dynamic players. We've seen history tells us it wasn't going to work. It appears to be working now. So,
and it's because of him.
It is. It really is.
He has stepped back into more of a traditional style of point guard role. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, he has some.
It's what made him great in Oklahoma City, in a way.
Yes, he still has flashes of scoring the ball at a really high level. But for the most part, he's really kind of ran the offense, been the instigator of the offense. And we've said it about the Clippers even since that trade happened. The Clippers are going to go as Kawhi Leonard's health goes. If Kawhi Leonard is healthy and playing, the Clippers are going to be darn good, and they're going to have a chance to win the title. Mm-hmm. They're that kind of team. If you get, man, because think about defensively the lineup that they can put out there with those two guys, along with, you know, the athleticism, maybe, you know, of Westbrook. He can be a really good defender when he wants to be. But George and Kawhi themselves are two of the better two-way players, if not the best couple in the league. So they're, you know, that's health is a huge part of that. Kawhi's health specifically is a huge part of that. And then, you know, SGA, last couple of nights, seeing some different things. He's, you know, didn't score 20. That's a very, very, very rare thing. But that goes back to the defense and the ability that the Clippers have, especially on the perimeter, to lock some guys up. And so, you know, LA threw a bunch of guys at SGA, the Lakers, that is, in a zone. And that seems to kind of bug him just a little bit to keep him out of the paint. You know, and getting those clean looks. And then last night with the ability of George and Kawhi on the perimeter to guard you. It's a couple of tough matchups.
And
it's been harder for SGA to get his points. Two nights ago on Monday, he had, 25, but it took him 19 shots. Mm-hmm. Last night he had 19 and it took him 16 shots.
Yeah. And then with the Clippers, I didn't even know this guy was still playing. Mason Plumlee, he's just annoying. He's just an annoying guy, but that actually is a pretty good attribute to play defense with. Just a big guy that kind of clogs up the middle. Not Clippers are good. Thunder's going to be fine. I said it back in December. This little road game, this little road stretch this month is going to be very tough. And we're seeing why. This is the rigors of the NBA. We saw minutes kind of altered because of a back-to-back, I think because of stamina and all of that. Now they're going to have to bounce back because Utah's not going to be easy. I mean, you got Utah tomorrow, and then Minnesota on Saturday before you finally get to come home, which you would think would be a win against Portland, and then it's back on the road again.
The good news, though, the next time you go back on the road, it's San Antonio, New Orleans, and Detroit.
Instead of
Clippers, Lakers, Utah, and Minnesota. And in Utah, we're pointing that game them out because, you know, 3 weeks ago, that didn't look like the game that it is now. Utah's won 6 straight, 9 of 10, and they've gotten themselves 2 games above .500 after a really bad start. Utah is a team that's kind of...
I thought they were going to blow it up.
Last year, they might have been a tanker, and they played better than you thought they would. Down to the last day of the season, they were one of those teams in the running to make the play-in. They were the one out, right?
Yeah. Maybe they don't know how.
Them and Dallas, yeah. And they might just be a little bit too good to tank, but not quite good enough to really be a force. But, you know, with Lauri Markkanen, I think that would have been a great acquisition for... to snag him from Chicago. He's a very, very good player. And so, yeah, these next two. But the beauty of it is, with the way that they played so far this season, even if you lose all four, you're still 27-15.
Yeah.
You're still on pace to win 54 games. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. When the schedule kind of lightens up a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, when they go to Detroit, are they going to be ready for the weather when they get there?
Let's talk about that next.
Detroit, are they going to have to – I wonder what they do. I wonder if anyone's asked the coach that.
I have a candidate that might. Talking NFL
playoffs. She might
playoffs.
Be looking for a job.
I mean, surely that's not like a normal sports reporter. Surely that's somebody that's got a...
From the Onion, maybe?
Been putting on because... I don't know. By the way, 3 in a row for the 7th grade Elks.
Really?
3 wins in a row.
That would be called...
It's a streak.
That's a streak. Very cool.
And back-to-back wins over Clinton. On Saturday at the Weatherford Tournament, then last night.
Who'd they play last night?
Clinton.
Oh, it was Clinton.
Yeah, back-to-back. Clinton was here. Both 7th and 8th grade won last night. So, good
stuff.
That's
good. That's good news. Good stuff.
Good stuff for the 7th grade Elks. With the 3 wins in a row. They did not win a game before Christmas, and now it's like they've only lost one out of Christmas. So here we go, or two maybe. But anyway.
See OSU, it can be done.
It can be done. Okay, Jared. You obviously have seen this video from Todd Bowles. What'd you get?
I'll tell you off air.
Yeah, I don't. Words don't really describe. We'll just let everyone hear the question that was asked to Todd Bowles about the upcoming divisional round playoff game in Detroit.
Coach, looking forward towards Detroit. The weather has been a factor in some of the playoff games, even for the most prepared teams. Today, it's 13 in Detroit, which doesn't compare to some of the temperatures we tend to talk to. Any special plans to acclimate the team to not only endure but perform in those kind of frigid temperatures should you face them in Detroit?
You do know we play indoors, right, and they got a dome. I don't – no, nothing planned. We're indoors, and we only have to be outside for 20 seconds getting off the bus going under the thing, so we'll be okay.
It's one thing to listen to it, but it's another to just watch. Like, when you watch him, so it starts out. And she makes sure to let you know that she's very, very smart and knows that other games have had weather. This isn't going to be as cold as some other places.
It doesn't compare to some of the temperatures we tend to talk to. Any special plans to acclimate the team to not only endure but perform in those kind of frigid temperatures should you face them in Detroit?
You do know we play indoors, right? And they got a dome.
You have to see the video, too. The look on his face when that question is coming, he's realizing, oh, I got to be nice about this.
He starts out, like, as she's reading off all those stats and the temperature and there's been games affected. Like, he's kind of looking.
Is this a joke?
Like, okay, that's a weird way to start a legitimate question, but how is this going to go? from here. And then it gets to the point where he can tell she's asking how they're going to prepare for the cold weather. Like, there's like the light bulb goes off in his head, like, holy cow, she's really asking this. See, this isn't the lead up to something else. And I mean, I think if he could have blessed her heart before giving that answer, he would have.
Yeah.
But he just kind of smiled, and you do know we play in a dome, right?
Well, you know, this is from today's practice report. They went to the local Cheesecake Factory deep freeze, and they're in there for like 20 seconds at a time, and they get out. So they're preparing for that walk.
I love that he went ahead. He was very pretty nice about it, but he did go ahead and get just a little bit of a slam in there with you know, no, we're not doing anything different. That 20 seconds, we're going to be outside. We're probably okay there. I really want to know, is this someone that has ever been to a sports press conference, or is it one of those deals where, you know, down there locally in Tampa or around somewhere in Florida, whether it be a newspaper or a TV station or whatever that might be, not really equipped to handle this, but now, oh my gosh, they won a playoff game, it's divisional round, we got to send somebody. Let's send her. And then from there, did she go in, like if the sports dudes had something else going on, did she go in like, hey, I'm going to run this by you guys. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask about the weather, because Buffalo and Kansas City, you know, they had some weather stuff. And the sports dudes are like, yeah, that's a good one. As like hazing or something. Yeah, why don't you run in there and ask Coach Bowles about the weather in Detroit, knowing full well that the game is inside, almost just like, you know what I'm saying? Like a prank.
Like they got her. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome. Or if this is literally somebody.
Welcome to the club. Yeah, we got you. A little hazing. I'm trying to find out.
Say hazing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find out who it is and who she reports for.
Our man Clay Travis has a great, great suggestion. He said, this is why there needs to be a camera on the media, too. It would be incredible video from Bowles' perspective to see what everyone else was doing in that room. That would be. That would be awesome. If, like, Bowles had a GoPro and you could see what the other reporters were doing as that question was being asked.
Oh, man. I bet there's a lot of face palms. Like, no. They just slap their face. You know that, like, from The Naked Gun where they all go, they slap their head. I bet there's a lot of that. I cannot find who this person is. Don't they usually announce?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Yeah. I thought traditionally
you post-game scenarios in the NBA, I know they do.
Mm-hmm.
You'd hear Barry Trammell, the Oklahoman. At one time you could hear Jeremy Gray, whatever that was, when he asked Pop a question. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. I think Ettinger's gotten popped himself at one point.
Curry, I think our man Jeremy asked Curry a question.
Did he ask Curry?
I think so.
Was it Ettinger that got popped? And
I
know he got popped. Or
he'll
maybe
let
it
us
was
know.
Stout. It's one of them. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by getting popped? Or he asked Popovich a question and he basically just looks at you like you're an idiot. Which he does to essentially every question he gets, because he's such a lovable human being.
Yeah, right.
So that was rough. Whoever that lady was, that was a rough go of it.
They are not releasing who that is. It just says a Tampa Bay Buccaneers reporter.
Yeah, that's...
Surely she doesn't work for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers website or something.
Surely not. If she does, she doesn't anymore or has a different thing. Yeah, it was Justin. Thanks for the reminder. it was better than that question, I can promise you, Justin. That was... what would you do if you were Todd Bowles? Start laughing? Like, he had to have thought it was a joke at first.
If it was me, I would have paused, kind of looking around the room, waiting for the punchline. Like, are you done? Are you serious? And then I probably would have answered a question like he did. But he could kind of see it on his face. He was, that, And he almost had like a sympathetic look at like, oh, that's
cool. What I'm saying. It was almost like he wanted to just say, bless your heart. Like pat her on the head like a little child.
Bless your heart. What are you doing? Yeah.
That's too bad. That's too bad you just did that and embarrassed yourself and on what's going to be national TV.
You know,
basically.
It's frustrating. You hear questions like that, and here we are thinking, how does she get a job like that? Really? There's no one else better qualified to be in that room and ask that question? Nah, let's put her in there, and she doesn't do her homework, has no idea what team plays where, in what venue, and ask a dumb question like that?
Yeah.
Now they're protecting her. I cannot find her name. I cannot find what paper or TV station or radio she reports for. They're not going to allow that because they know that will her credibility will be gone.
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone.
Which quarterback has the most pressure on them to win this divisional round playoff game that they're in?
Well, I can tell you he has the least pressure.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. So he's off that list.
Or C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. I think they've both exceeded the playoff expectations, and they're going to be fine moving forward.
Yeah.
The most pressure, maybe Josh Allen at home.
That's where I would go. I think it can only be between one of two. Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. But I would say it's Josh Allen. Being at home, Kansas City, that the rivalry that has kind of budded in the last couple of years due to playoff games and close games. And his place. What is his place in the quarterback tiers, in the pecking order? In a lot of ways, I think people want to have him at or near the top. And this is a way to do that, to go out and perform great against the team that you just can't seem to get over the hump of in Kansas City. So, yeah, I think it's those two, and Josh Allen would get the nod for me. It's really interesting because it seems like all the home teams, the quarterbacks, I don't know how much Jared Goff has because it's such a story, a good story for Detroit that maybe he's not. I mean, they're expected to win the game, playing at home and being the team they've been all year long against a Tampa team that, quite frankly, is up and down. But even if it doesn't go Detroit's way, I don't know how sour a taste that's going to leave in the mouth just because they got back to the playoffs, played a home game, won a home game. You know what I mean? I just don't sense a ton of pressure on Jared Goff. But the other home team quarterbacks, Lamar, Josh Allen, and then also Brock Purdy, I think that's your top three right there of who has the pressure on him at the quarterback spot this weekend.
Yeah, because Brock Purdy was there last year, so it's time to take the next step, right?
Well, they got to the NFC title game when he got hurt.
Well, yeah.
He played a series.
He needs to play and play good and get into the Super Bowl. The Jared Goff thing in Detroit, it's like this was the process. Like last year they were good. This year they were better. They win a playoff game. Whatever happens, it happens. And they're going to be, hey, that was a great season. Next year we're going to be better. So that pressure will be there next year for him.
Yeah, I think if this is a year from now and Goff is in the situation with the home divisional game, he might be the answer. Mm-hmm. Expected to move on and with that Detroit team. But
right now in Detroit, like everything's a bonus.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And think about this. What if I told you, Jared, at the beginning of the season, that one of two things was going to happen, and one of these two is guaranteed. The Detroit Lions are going to play for the NFC title, or Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Buccaneers are going to play for the NFC title. That's happening.
Like, Aaron, that's a little early to be drinking.
Yeah,
I would have laughed at you.
Yeah. It's officially going to happen. Which game do you?
Don't you love the NFL because that's officially going to happen?
Part of it, yeah. That's the lure of it, right?
Yes.
When you can get these teams that, half the teams make the playoffs the year after they make it, and half of them don't. I mean, it's just the way it goes.
And Dallas blows it every year.
That's about right.
It's like the only constant of it all.
Which game do you like the best? are you the most excited about watching?
Bills, Chiefs.
I think that's an easy answer, right?
Yeah, because it's finally Chiefs on the road. It's in Buffalo, and that's like what, round three between these two quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Or in the playoffs, round three.
Maybe just two playoff games. Did they play last year?
I can't remember.
2 years ago was that ridiculous one.
Yeah. Point is, for entertainment value, quality of quarterback on both sides and the teams, give me that game all day long. That's the one I'm really going to be watching.
Yeah, because the other ones, and it feels like, okay, great job, Houston. You're out. Green Bay, probably give Green Bay the best chance, even though they're playing the best team with the way they looked. Not really, though. It feels like, okay, great job. Way to go. All right, you're done. And then Tampa kind of the same way. Like, this is where, playoff round three, Mahomes 2-0. I knew Dakota would know. But 0-3 in the regular season. Yeah, Allen wins in the regular season, and Mahomes wins in the playoffs.
Yeah.
My favorite storyline is the Mahomes finally going on the road.
Yeah.
Having to play a road playoff game for the first time in his career. It doesn't even seem possible that that's the case. But you know what? You start to think back to Brady. How many road playoff games did he play? Not a ton. But he did play some. And so here we are getting our first taste of Mahomes on the road. If you could pick next week's games, what would you pick?
Like the winners?
Yeah. Who do you want to see win this week to play next week?
Great question. In the title games? Mm-hmm. Who do I want to see? It's not who I think will win. It's who do I want to see? I would like to see Packers and Texans. Wait, I can't do that. What am I doing, Jared? I want to see Jordan Love. Yeah, man, that's all of them are good. That's why I can't answer it right now. I want to see these young guys in a title game against great quarterbacks. You know, for instance, like C.J. Stroud against Mahomes. How fun would that be?
They'd be back at Arrowhead.
Remember that passing of the baton thing we've always talked about? Maybe too early to say that about Mahomes, but maybe a he's holding the members jacket of the quarterback elite club, Mahomes. If C.J. Stroud, hey, you beat me, you get this jacket here. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to the club, son.
See, I think you could do that same thing with Lamar.
You don't think he's in that club yet?
No, even though he's going to be a two-time MVP. I don't. I don't think people put him in the Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen type group. Joe
Burrow. According to some callers yesterday, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. As much fun as it's like, as
man,
much
that
fun,
was entertaining radio yesterday.
As much fun as it would be to see Baker in the NFC title game, I don't think you get a good game if that's the case. So give me San Francisco, Detroit.
Yeah.
And then I'll take Baltimore, and I don't care. Honestly, I don't care.
Yeah,
either
that's
one.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to answer either one. Yeah, that's good.
Either one is fine with me.
Yeah.
In the
I'm
AFC.
Rooting for the young quarterbacks. I'm finding myself rooting for not just to see the 49ers lose, but to see Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud. I'm rooting for these young guys to because I'm tired of seeing these young quarterbacks that were told, hey, these are the guys, these are the next generation of quarterbacks, and they come in and nothing. It's happening more than I like.
Well,
I want to see him be right. I want to see him be right about these young guys like Stroud, which I think that – well – he's had a great season, but can he win these pivotal games?
He's not even supposed to be asked to win these games yet, and here he is.
Yeah.
I think that I like that Green Bay is there in this way. It gives a different perspective to how to groom and develop a quarterback. Just think about an all-time great in Brett Favre. What happened? They drafted Aaron Rodgers a couple of years ahead of when you thought they needed to. That caused some ripples.
Yeah.
But I think it was the best thing ever for Aaron Rodgers. He didn't have to go out to San Francisco at the time and try to resurrect that franchise on his own. And then a couple of years before they probably needed to. They draft Jordan Love, which causes ripples, but it was the best thing for Jordan Love. I mean, we've seen him, glimpses of him a little bit the last couple of years, and it hasn't been very good. But him being able to go to a successful, self-sustaining franchise and also be able to wait his turn and kind of wait till he's ready, I wonder if teams start paying more attention to what they're doing. Because you're right. Like, think about all the guys that have kind of busted at the quarterback spot. Almost every single one of them have the same MO, the same formula. They played way too early in their career, and they ended up playing for a whole bunch of different either head coaches or offensive coordinators because the franchise was unstable. Mm-hmm. And it takes an all-time great almost to get out. I mean, think about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence clearly took a step back this year, right? And it was with Doug Peterson again. So
right, this was the year they were supposed to
really kind of take that next step, and they did for a while, and then he hurt his ankle, and the jury. What I'm saying is the jury is still out on Trevor Lawrence, even as good and as talented and as all time great as he might have been or was supposed to be. And so, this is I know that with the way that everything's sped up in the NFL right now, it's only a few franchises can actually do this, or maybe actually smart enough to do it. But Green Bay certainly has been, and jury is still out on Jordan. I mean, as far as the all-time great status of what Favre and Rodgers were, but he certainly looks to be a capable quarterback, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And, using that at the end of the day, Green Bay has done something that basically nobody else has done in the entire league, and that is spend a first-round pick on a quarterback that you don't really need to play right away. Nobody else is doing that, but they are, and it sure looks like it's worked twice now. Yeah, I mean, that's Jeremy's right on the text line. C.J. Stroud is first flourishing at Houston. Houston, all caps, with the mess that was. It has been. I'll go back to it anytime we talk about C.J. Stroud. For one, I was right, and so that's why I like to talk about him. And for two, but number two is anybody that watched that game against Georgia saw what we're seeing now.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It felt like a pro game. He was making pro throws
against other pros.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was exactly. It was phenomenal. And so, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm the young ones. It's fun.
Hey, I say that because of the just recent quarterback draftees. I mean, they're not panning out as much as we're being told that they should be. So why'd they go so high? So it's kind of vindicating to see guys like Stroud, Jordan Love, I'll put in that category. Who else did I say? Oh, those two namely. And it's working out. So it's like, okay, you got a couple of them right. And plus, it's just fun to root for the young kid and the underdogs. And they are definitely that. This weekend.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
The best part about being a Dallas fan is that you can just sit back and not have to stress about these games. You can just sit back and just watch football.
That's the best and worst all at the same time. I hate to do it, but.
Just how you're supposed to impress Coach, rebounding has been an issue. The series tonight again seems like rebounding the Thunder beat you to the boards tonight as well.
That's a correct statement.
I guess that's Jeremy laughing in the background. Watching TV. Why would you need enemies when you got buddies like that? Yeah, I think that's what that was. That was.
We love you, Justin. Oh, it's good stuff.
Very, very funny. Very funny. I know that we were talking about, I guess, off air, maybe different things state tournament wise. And I remember they, like when you went down and talked before the game, you, when we asked, you know, we always talk to each coach, you know, pregame in the big house in the A and B state tournament.
Uh-huh.
And you always, or at least me, the couple times I was down there, there was one person that I always made sure I was prepared with a couple of good questions. And that was Sherry Myers. Mm-hmm. If you didn't ask her a question, she does exactly that. And so that was, you always had to be like buttoned up when it was her turn, and she was there every year. So you always kind of
I've learned the hard way too, going with that. If you don't, some coaches, I was telling you the story off air, I won't bring it all to air, but if you don't ask a question, they'll leave you.
They won't give you an answer.
They won't give you an answer. They'll see that as an opportunity to get out of there. So you can make a statement and hope they react. Well, sometimes you're not going to get the reaction you want. You got to ask a question.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was always the one.
Coaches are, I mean, it's easier to interview mayors and police chiefs and fire chiefs. Coaches, they don't want to be interviewed.
It just kind of depends. some do,
but some would rather, that's the last thing they want to do. So we're great. We're grateful for the ones that do give us the time. 100%, you know, especially, you know, if they come in studio.
Yeah, speaking of one like that, it's about time to bring one of those in. As when the calendar starts flipping to April and maybe even March. Our old buddy Jay Mack, that's probably not his favorite thing of all time, to come in here and talk to us. But he may not have a choice.
Well, we need it. Seriously, we need to start now asking some area coaches, because we're going to get some playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Coming
it's
up.
All happen.
And, because once playoff hits, I think they're probably, I won't say unwilling, but preoccupied. They would rather not. But we'll definitely do that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
In all seriousness, though, we have some great coaches out here that do talk to us. We're not ripping any local
coaches.
Doubt. We're not doing that.
No doubt.
Just going back to our memory banks of some bad, embarrassing interviews that we've done.
I'm blaming that on Jeremy. He shouldn't have never sent us the audio.
After all these years, he still has
it. He's still got it. I know. I love it. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one-word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.